Today we start spiritual gifts, and actually chapters 12 through 14, which actually will take us through the middle of October. So next 2 months we're going to be spending talking about spiritual gifts. And it's an important topic. And there's, you know, different aspects that we're going to kind of, this is the beginning part. This is where Paul starts. In some ways it seems, you know, seeing where we're going, it seems like I would have started, you know, I would have started a different place. But this is where the Lord started Paul, so we accept the Lord's wisdom in this. And so we're going to start down the path of spiritual gifts. And there's all kinds of interesting topics down the road. We're going to briefly touch on tongues and that kind of stuff. And that's, you know, that's become a big deal. I mean, there's a lot of people are, you know, focused on tongues and that kind of stuff. And, you know, so hopefully we can answer a lot of those questions as we go through these chapters and these verses. Okay, so actually what I did, I think I pushed the button a couple times already. This is the outline. I've been using the outline from Macaulay. I don't necessarily follow that directly in the presentation, but it's just kind of good. I like what his organizational skills are. The Lord has really gifted him. Just amazing how he is able to take and organize things. It's just really cool. So he points out, as we start into chapter 12 here, two of the words we're going to see is spiritual, which is pneumatos, and then we're also going to see gifts, which is charisma. So we're going to see those two words and other important words as we go through these passages. So the first thing we're going to start out with is makes a contrast with the pagan. You know, you once were pagans, and now you're in the Lord. And he's going to talk about what you once were, the influence of that, and how you've been changed. And then he's going to start into the statement about spiritual gifts. And he's going to point out about the fact that both the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are involved in spiritual gifts in the believer's life. We're going to see that in 4 through 6. And then we're going to come down to the aim of spiritual gifts. And the aim of always the spiritual gifts is not for you, but it's for the body. And boy, if there's one thing you want to keep in mind, that's it. You know, because what happens is after a while, you get so focused on spiritual gifts, you're so who you're focused on. You're focused on yourself, and that's wrong focus. The focus of spiritual gifts is how they can edify the body. And so if you get so focused on yourself and tweaking and polishing up your spiritual gift, so to speak, you're going to miss the point, you know. So we'll see that and get involved in that too. And then he states some of the spiritual gifts, not all of them. And actually Macaulay kind of separates them into three groups: mind, body, and spirit. And I didn't exactly see what he was doing there, but since I'm not exactly following his outline, I didn't have to I'm going to go through verse by verse, and we're going to look at each of the verses. So the fact that he calls some of the names, I guess, some I see, some I don't. So if that's helpful, that's great. So that's kind of a quick outline. So could someone read the first 11 verses in chapter 12?
Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you are pagans, you are led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills.
Great. Thanks, Tom. Okay. So let's just start off with the first verse here. Now, concerning spiritual gifts. So first thing you're going to notice is that gifts is in italics. So it's going to be defined later on, but the translators, and I'm going to mention that in the text, the translators thought it was important to put gifts up there so that it would be a better flow. And you could argue about that, but whatever. So we're going to look now concerning or about. And spiritual, as I mentioned, is pneumatikos, meaning those things pertaining to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, communicated or imparted by the Holy Spirit. And actually, we've come across this word before, earlier, in 1 Corinthians. So let's just look at a couple of those occurrences. Could someone, let's go back and read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read, someone could read verses 14 and 15 in chapter 2.
But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
Okay. So, and actually, you know, if you continue on, it talks about a man of the flesh. We get in chapter 1 of chapter 3. So this is what, and I actually covered that. And that's that passage that talks about the three kinds of men in Scripture: the natural man, the man of the flesh, and then the spiritual man, and then, actually, well, I misspoke there. The natural man is a man outside of Christ, and the man of the flesh is a carnal man who's a Christian but not walking with the Lord. So, so this word spiritual is used to describe the man walking by the Spirit or walking under the control of the Spirit. He's a believer. So the word is used of a man in that case. And then it's going to be used a little bit differently in a couple other cases here. So let's look at, so the first case is used of a spiritual man early in the chapter. Then it's going to be used a little bit differently in chapter 9. Could someone read 1 Corinthians 9:11?
If we sow spiritual things in you, is it too much if we reap material things from you?
Okay. So in this case, it's going to talk about, you know, this is Paul speaking. You know, we sowed spiritual things, things of the Holy Spirit, things of God in you. So this is talking about the same word, pneumatikos, that's used of spiritual gifts, use of spiritual things. And then it's going to be used of spiritual gifts again. But let's kind of jump ahead here to chapter 14. And just, if someone could read in chapter 14, verse 1. In 1 Corinthians.
Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy.
Right. And if you notice in here, I'm sure in your Bible, it has gifts in italics again. Mm-hmm. So it's spiritual. So spiritual, so the core meaning, obviously, is that it pertains to the Holy Spirit. It's communicating what the Spirit is involved in, what He's active in, and the Spirit of God is active in the believer's life. That's his job. That's his ministry. Okay. So then I kind of borrowed a quotation from Macaulay. He kind of maybe drills down a little bit farther. He says the word spiritual is used in two ways in the New Testament. First, it's used of anything that pertains to the person of the Holy Spirit. And second, it is used to designate the work that he does in the life of the believer. So, you know, and there's just, you know, we had a whole class, Mike had a whole class for a year on the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's ministry. And it's a wonderful thing. The Spirit of God is working and energizing the believer in Christ and the body of Christ. And there's lots to be said. So we're just going to kind of focus on the ministry in terms of, quote, spiritual gifts. Gifts that are grace given to the body of believers. And we're going to see a distinction as we get into this, because Paul's going to start off with a group of gifts that, the best understanding that I have and others, they don't really apply to the church today. And that can be kind of some have taken those and just run with those. As I like to say, some people like to live in the book of Acts. They think their Christian life is the book of Acts. And so everything they see in Acts, oh, that's what I should be doing. That's how I should be interfacing. And I think it's kind of a... And maybe Randy can go ahead, Randy.
Well, I think we should sell all of our property and give it, and then see if the Holy Spirit kills anybody, just like He did in Acts.
Okay,
that's
nice try.
Okay, all right.
But we're supposed to live out Acts, right?
Right, yeah, and that's right. And the thing is, if you all kinds of things, and that you have, and then there are people that claim to be apostles, even though an apostle had to. you had to see the Lord, you know. And I don't know how they justify that, but some people are apostles, and they speak God's word and wisdom outside of Scripture. Boy, when you start going down that path, that's a slippery path. And so, you know, and that's why you think, why in the world would Paul start off with these lists that not really apply to us? But the Lord, maybe He wants us to be on our guard, so we see the ones that are not for us. So later on, we'll see the ones that are for us. So you can argue that too. Anyway, okay. Now I've already mentioned that gifts is in italics, and it's in the context it's supplied later. And then actually, we'll cover that in verse 4. There are a variety of gifts, and that's the word charisma. Okay, so that's verse 1. Okay, verse 1, second part. I do not want you to be unaware. So he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, continued. It's present tense, so something that's continuing on. You continue to be unaware. And there was a problem in the Corinthian church with spiritual gifts. They got out of hand. So he doesn't want them to be continuing in the state that they're in. It's actually the word unaware is the word ignorant. There are a couple of verses that kind of talk about being unaware in other contexts. They both have this, start with the same phraseology. I do not want you to be unaware, brethren. The first one talks about, and this is Paul, that I plan to come to you, and I may obtain fruit from you, and so on. And the second one, he doesn't want them to be unaware that, you know, that their fathers were all under the cloud and passed through the sea. So this is the way that Paul typically was communicating in the Scriptures. He used that phraseology, not to be unaware. What he means is, I want you to be aware. I want you to be on your toes. You know, prick up your ears, so to speak. Okay. So verse 2. Okay, so now he's going to kind of reflect back on where they came from. And this is, you know, we see this in other parts of Scripture. You know, you were here, you were dead in trespasses and sins, and now you're alive in Christ. So there's this contrast between what you were and now what you are. You know that when you were pagans, and pagans, an idol, an image, represent a false god. Actually, in the interest of time, that verse just kind of describes some of the aspects of being a pagan. So I think maybe for the time being, you can look that up on your own. You were led astray. You were led astray to mute idols. And this is pretty cool here. you were led, and mute is this idol of voiceless or speechless. So if you think about it, in so many different pagan cultures, they always had an idol. And they had multitudes of idols. But the idols never said anything. They never communicated with us. But how much different the true God who wants to communicate with His creation. He wants to interact with His creation. So much different. So Paul's making the point is that these are just voiceless things standing there. Why are you even fooling around with that? That's so silly. They can't inform you. They can't enlighten you. And the contrast here, let's just look at, someone look at Romans 8:14. So the contrast to being led by these voiceless idols that can't say anything to you is the total contrast to that is what is in 8:14, in Romans 8:14. And then could someone read that?
For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God.
Right. So. You know, here they're being led astray by mute idols. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ is being led by the Spirit of God, and they are the sons of God. You know, you already have this relationship and this. He calls you sons. He calls you children. So there's this wonderful relationship you have, and it's a relationship that there's dialogue and speech. Now you might argue, well, I'd like to have it so that, you know, God talks back to me. Well, He does, but it's in a different way. He's chosen, and probably wisely, because people would go, you know, imagine if the Lord spoke to us directly, all of us. You think, that sounds really good, but you can see a problem. Pretty soon is, you know, Tom might say, well, the Lord told me this, and Randy says, the Lord told me that, and I say He told me that. Pretty soon, well, what did He tell us? You know, so if He writes it down, you know, being that we have a fallen nature, we have something to look to, and there's less chance in a way of, you know, We go back to the source. So what does it really say? Now, you can argue all day that, well, I think it says this, and I think it says that, and you know, hopefully we flesh that out. But you know, the wisdom of God giving us His Word and communicating the way He has, I think it's pretty neat. It's different than we would do, one-to-one. We communicate directly. But a lot of times there's misunderstanding and all kinds of things. How much wiser to have it, you know, in a written form that's preserved for us. So, anyway. The true God speaks to us through His Word. However you were led or whenever the occasion that might arise. So God has led us through His Word in every situation that we know. His Word is sufficient for all that we need. Okay. Any thoughts on this verse here? It's going to kind of press on, if not. Okay. Now, this is a cool verse. You look at this verse, first of all, and you might scratch your head here. This verse says, "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaks by the Spirit of God." "Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So I think as a starter, before we dive into this verse, you might want to... This is not saying that you cannot say these things. A believer or unbeliever can say both these things, obviously. Any person can say these words. The question is, who's guiding you? What's happening to them in this situation? What is the Holy Spirit doing in this situation? A person can say those words, but this is a testimony to the fact that the Holy Spirit has a ministry. So let's see if I can prove that to you. Okay. It says, "No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed." So the little "by" is by means of or under the power of. So boy, that's a real good start. What he's saying is, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, why would the Holy Spirit, whose ministry, which that's the next question, what's the ministry of the Holy Spirit? It's on the paper. Do you remember what his ministry is?
Sure.
What's that?
To reveal the Lord.
Right.
To teach us.
Right, exactly. So, I will glorify me. In fact, actually, let's look at that verse. I was going to have us... Let's go... Someone read on John... let's see, what is it? Just go back. How about John 16, 13 and 14?
"Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you."
Yeah, that's just a wonderful, you know, wonderful statement about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I always like to think that He is a divine conduit. And actually, Cheryl will appreciate this. This is a story from work. At our work out at Buckley, we have secure phones and unsecure phones. And the occasion happens where you would like to communicate something that isn't classified between the classified system and unclassified system. Well, you can't just put the things together. That's illegal. I mean, that's, you know, you're compromising that. But you can say, well, so-and-so says hello. So in a way, so you could put it, you know, John here that you know says, oh, Cheryl says hello. Hi, Cheryl, I'm talking to
he's hello.
You know, so that he's a divine conduit between the Lord, between Christ and us. He's a divine conduit. He shows us the things of Christ, and that's his ministry. He's to glorify Christ. He says he takes of mine of Christ and discloses them unto you. So the Holy Spirit would never say Jesus is accursed. It would never do, because Jesus is not accursed. Tom?
And probably one way of looking at it in the same vein would be the Holy Spirit will take the things of Jesus and make them real to the believer.
Right, exactly. And that's not, you know, Jesus is accursed is not reality. That's a false statement. So it's not so much that someone is going to say that. I don't think that's the point. The point is that the Holy Spirit's ministry is to show us the things of Christ. Okay, then the second part of this is, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by, the same thing, by means of or by the power and influence. So there are several verses, I only have one I think here, that talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry in declaring who Christ is. And this is one of those verses. Could someone read 1 John 4:2?
By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God.
Right.
So we know from Scripture who Jesus Christ is, what He's done. So if a spirit is another person, a fellow believer, if he says that Jesus Christ is Lord, he says that because he knows Him. And so the point here in this passage, I think, is the origin. What's the origin? The origin is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not say conflicting things. He will not say Jesus is a curse. He will say Jesus is Lord, basically. So that, I think that's the takeaway from this. Not that you couldn't say both those things. And there might be some difference of opinion. Go ahead.
In the Greek, it's someone who is in the Spirit cannot say those things.
Good thing.
It's
okay.
It's not just any person.
That's a good point.
Someone who is in the Spirit cannot
right.
say
those right.
things.
Right. And I think I probably didn't make that clear enough, but by means of, you know, an unbeliever can't be under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit to say the things. He may be under the power of conviction of sins, conceivably. That's what Scripture says. But he's not going to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's good, Randy. Okay. So hopefully that answers that one. Before I looked at this verse in the past and said, wow, how do I make this happen? I can say this, I can say that, and go ahead.
Well, I think, too, unless you are controlled by the Holy Spirit, you're not going to say Jesus is Lord.
No.
Or you're not going to understand it or believe it.
Exactly. So. Exactly. But I was, you know, sometimes you can do silly, you know, silly thinking where you say, well, I could say that, you know. It's sort of like a bunch of kids, you know, I say this, you say that. Well, of course you could say that. But this is speaking about the influence and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer.
Yeah, and don't you think it's not just about speaking it, it also reflects your life. I mean,
exactly.
It's anybody can say anything, but I don't think that's what Paul, he's not being flippant here.
No.
he's saying this is people's hearts.
Right. Exactly. And this is how the Holy Spirit is, by means of or by under the influence, is showing who Christ is. He's exercising His ministry, the Holy Spirit is. Okay. All right. So now, there's a series of verses here that have a very, very consistent pattern. It says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries and the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. Okay. Now there are a variety of gifts. So that's in the present tense. So these gifts are continually present. It's not like they come for a season and they're gone for a season. The gifts are are continually there. I mean, the idea of a gift in a believer is that that's a God-given gift, and that's something that he can exercise. His ministry in his life is continually that situation. Okay, varieties is this word, apportionments or distributions, and it's something. It's in the passive sense. It's been given by God. So basically, the apostle here is. This is not being merely bestowed upon us, but bestow certain gifts on certain people and not the same. We're going to see that a little bit later on. We're going to see in verse 7 that he's given specific gifts to people for specific ministries in their life. And it's not necessarily the same for each person. He doesn't, you know, it's God's working in each individual. And we're going to see that phraseology as we go on. But this word varieties is used here to kind of indicate that there are different, there's not just one, there are varieties or apportionments or distributions. And these words kind of gifts and ministries and effects are all kind of maybe synonyms of each other. I think I mentioned that here as we go on. Gifts. So the first of those, gifts, charisma, a gift of grace, a gift involving charis, grace, on the part of God as the donor, is used of his endowments upon believers by the operation of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see that there's going to be a variety of gifts that God has given the body of Christ, and it's sort of like the function of the human body. The human body, you know, you have hands and toes and feet and, you know, the whole works. And they each have a certain function. You wouldn't want your ear to act like your toe and your toe to act like your ear. You wouldn't want them to have the wrong ministries, right? So in the body of Christ, the ministries are there for the common good, we're going to see, for the edifying of the body, to build up the body. But the same Spirit. So the same Spirit is working with these varieties of gifts. And it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And there are a variety of ministries in the same Lord. So here I just kind of, at this point, decided just to point out the fact that if you look carefully here, you'll see that it says varieties of gift, the same Spirit. Varieties of ministries, the Lord Jesus. Varieties of effects, the same God. So this is pointing to the fact that the Trinity is involved in the gifts, and it's using words that are, you know, somewhat similar. Ministries is this word service. It's use of apostolic ministries and the service of believers now. Let's see if there's some verses here we can. Might be helpful. Yeah, let's look at. Could someone read Romans? So I want to kind of look at a couple of usages of this word ministry. Romans chapter 11 and verse 13 is the first one. And this is going to be Paul speaking here.
For I speak to you, Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office.
Okay, well, yours says office. That's interesting. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So,
what
should
it say?
Well, it should be ministry. It's the Greek word is
diakonia. Maybe office is one.
Well, actually, and that's what I'm trying to point out here. Mm-hmm. This word is ministries. Is the idea of service and ministry. You know, that's a function. You know, Paul says, my function is that I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. That's what I'm functioning in that ministry or in that office. You could say that's perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, another verse is in Ephesians 4:12.
For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Okay. That kind of jumps into the middle there, but let's see if I can... Yeah, well, if you just go back, it says, and he gave some apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so here the word is the work of, it could be the work of ministry, but it's service here. Now, what does yours have in 4:12?
Mine has equip...
Work of
I've already moved on.
Okay. The equipping of the saints for the... Yeah, Ephesians 4:12.
Perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry.
Okay. So you have ministry there. So actually mine has service. Okay. Mm-hmm. So once again, it's the equipping of the saints for the work of service. How they're going to service the body or minister to the body. And then the last one in Colossians, we have to read that one, basically talking about the ministry that you receive from the Lord. So we have gifts, ministries, and we're going to see effects in the next chart here. So those are three. And then the third one, variety of effects. Effects is from the word energy, affecting, working. It's the results of the energy of God in the believer. What I think is really neat is that you see that God is providing the gifts, or you could say he's providing the ministry that a believer has, And the effects kind of focuses on the fact that this effects, this is going to be God's working, God's energy in your life. So, as we see so often, the Christian life is not I, but Christ. And this is showing it's even more broad than that. It's the power and the energy is all derived from God. So this is where the effects kind of points that out. Let's see if there are... This one has there are distinctive varieties of operations, and that kind of comes out of the effects are working. They're working to accomplish things. I wanted to see if we wanted to look at one of those verses.
Yeah, mine says there are differences of administrations.
Okay.
As in apps.
And there are diversities of operations.
Okay.
But it is the same God which worketh all in all.
Okay.
So it's all the same.
Right. Right. And it's only used in these verses. It's going to be used in verse 10. We're going to see it again. These effects or energies. But the same God who works all things in all persons. And works here. So we have effects. And the works is another thing that God is, to work in, to be active in, to operate. Is use of God, the Holy Spirit, of God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. Let's look at the one in Philippians. This is a pretty familiar one. Philippians 2:13.
For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure.
Yeah. So it actually occurs twice in that verse. For it is God who is at work in you. This is energizing you, operative in your life. God is at work in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Okay. So we have varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, variety of effects, but the same God who is energizing you. So this is all about God and very little about us. So once again, as we're going through these spiritual gifts and things, God definitely is demonstrating through the verbiage and the tense and the definitions of the words that He's intending to do His work through you. It'll be His energy, not your energy. But the same God who by His divine energy operates them all in this sphere. So that was kind of, so you see, if once you've kind of looked at the words a little bit, you see that we try to kind of summarize some of those ideas in his translation. But the same God who by His divine energy operates them all in their sphere. Okay. So here, now we come to the verse that's what Macaulay calls the aim. So what are the aim of these gifts and effects and ministries? But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one, and once again, it's each one is continuous act. Each one is being given. You're not just given it for a day, a month, a year. That's the ministry that God has given you is something that's continued to be practiced, continued to be used. And God, it's in the passive voice. God is providing it. It is given. Didomai, to give, bestow, spoken of God or of Christ as the author or source of what one has or receives. Could someone read John 3:27?
John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from heaven.
Okay, that's pretty good. So this has been given, but each one is given, and it's from God. These things are continually given, but to each of there is constantly given. So there's a translation of that. We kind of emphasize in the present tense, constantly being given, the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So this is to make visible or observable. The Holy Spirit is Spirit. You can't see Him, right? But as He works in your life, you're gonna be able to see, and He's not focusing on itself. You're gonna be able to see Christ, right? So it's kind of cool. The Spirit's gonna work in you. His manifestation will not be of Himself. So when you see, you know, when you see all the focus on the Holy Spirit, just on Him alone, then you have to wonder if they really have looked at their Bibles carefully, because He says He's in the background. He's the unseen agent in this. His focus is to be on Christ, clearly seen it. So the fact that you, the believer, can demonstrate Christ's life in himself is a result of the Holy Spirit working, even though you can't see it. That just that very fact is a demonstration of what's going on, and it's for the common good, with a view to the profit of all, he says. Okay. So now we have the easy part. So now we're going to jump in to the enumeration of these of some of the gifts. Okay. So in 8 through 10, there are listed, there are nine gifts listed. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another distinguishing of spirits. Did I say it right? To another kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. So nine are listed. There are other listings of spiritual gifts. And then, okay, so I borrowed, there's actually a good, and I can get it for you, Vern produced a supplement on the spiritual gifts, and it's one of his big spreadsheets, you know, just you can't read it unless you have it in your hand. But anyway, I borrowed certain sections of that. So these lists of spiritual gifts here, as best we can tell, are ones that for the apostolic period. And there's some debate about the thing on tongues, whether when it actually ended. And to some people, if I told them that I believe the gift of tongues has ended, they probably would, you know, run around the room and jump up and down and be upset about that. But if you read carefully, I think, you know, you will see that that's one of the gifts that was given for. And it's a language. We're going to be into that more in detail down the road here a bit. It's a known language. So basically, these gifts listed here in 8 through 10 are ones, and there's a chart here on the next page. And this is from Vern back in 2009. And the ones we read in Corinthians there, the first column are 1 Corinthians 12 through 12, 8 through 10. And then we're going to see some other ones as we continue on in chapter 12. But the ones, and we're going to some of the ones that that focus on the body of Christ, the church age gifts are teaching, helps, ministration, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, evangelists, and shepherds. So we're going to see those, and those are going to be covered, actually not so much in Corinthians. A few are in the remainder of chapter 12, but those are focused on in Romans and in Ephesians. So the ones that we're seeing now are ones that were for the apostolic era, which is the founding of the church. So what I tried to do here, I tried to go through each of these ones that are listed here, and just to try to, you know, I think it's worth, they're in God's Word, even though I don't think they apply to us now, I think we should understand what they are, because what you'll hear people, if you turn on your TV and you listen to certain ministries, you'll hear people saying, well, I'm going to give you a word of wisdom. I'm going to give you a word of knowledge. And you say, okay, well, what's that all about? And what I believe they're doing is that they're claiming to be able to exercise in those gifts there. And so that, you know, that can be kind of problematic. If they have a word of wisdom, and this is something that is, it can be in Scripture, but many times the claim is that that's, I got that directly from God. I got a word of wisdom from God. Well, I got a problem with that. Go ahead, Randy.
I'll be careful how I will say this. that I've seen a lot of times with the televangelists, when they use phrases like that, that they're employing it as a manipulative strategy to say, I have this from God.
Right.
It's almost like the Pope speaking ex cathedra or whatever.
Right.
Like, this is new scripture. It's a new thing from God. And you can't argue.
I know.
And that's a high-risk scenario. Whereas in Paul, well, the Holy Spirit did something very intentional here when he inspired Paul to write these for this church in Corinth.
Right. So like I said, he starts with the ones that don't apply to us. And that's my, you know, you think, why wouldn't he start with the ones that apply to us? But he didn't. You know, God in his wisdom, we're starting with the ones that, for the best we can tell, do not apply to us. Do we have faith? Yes, we have faith. But this is talking about an extraordinary demonstration of faith, you know, that was a gift given in that time period. And there are some verses, I would not have time to look through them. But so let's just start off. Let me just back up here. So I'm going to go through, as list, they start with, as the verse says, for one is given a word of wisdom. So let's just, the word of wisdom, for one is given through the implementation and intermediate agency of the Spirit, a word of wisdom. And actually, one thing to notice here, and I haven't really, it's actually, there's no definite article, so it's actually a word of wisdom. Some people I was reading kind of made a big deal about that, and I wasn't clever enough to exactly comprehend that. So that's an exercise for the students, as they say. There may be a gem there, but I, at the moment, I'm not sure I have totally grasped what a versus the would say. There's a singular word of wisdom, only one. A word, there's wisdom in. So, Tom, did you have a?
I'm thinking of that handy dandy charismatic phrase, name it, claim it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
okay.
That seems to be tied
okay.
in with that sort of
okay.
thing, where people can be misled.
Right. All right. Okay, so I borrow some words from here from Vern here, applying God's word or God's wisdom to specific situations. And he has a passage here in 1 John, which talks about, we're not going to have time to go through all those ones, but it talks about, you know, that they saw the Lord, that they touched him, they felt him, and basically that they... you know, they came to know him as Lord. They came to understand him as Lord through remembering that he did certain things and accomplished certain things. So in a way, that's kind of supporting the idea that they had some knowledge, and that's the apostles. They had knowledge about that was given from God about the Lord Jesus. And some of these aren't super super strong, but you know. And some will say, you know, some claims will be, we have nothing that says that these are, they're only for the apostolic era. But boy, you know, as you go down this list, as you get down the list here, you get down to miracles and other things, boy, you begin to say, boy, that's in healing. People claim to be healing people, but if they really could, why aren't they out there, you know, walking the floors of the hospitals healing people? They'll do it at their meetings, but they won't do it, you know, in hot walking the floors of the hospital. I don't know. Christ did that. He walked the streets of Jerusalem and he healed. Some have said he healed everyone that had a need that came by him. He healed everyone. He didn't exclude anybody. So anyway, that's a little commentary there. Okay. So word of knowledge, basically, knowledge according to the same Spirit. So, word of wisdom, we're not closely related to wisdom and knowledge, you know. They both are sourced in God. Revelation from God about people, circumstances, or truths. Okay, then we have here faith by the same Spirit. Trust implicitly of God to perform unusual deeds. And a lot of these, if you start looking in Acts, you'll see a lot of these are concerned with it. You know, miraculous things happen in Acts. That's why I was kind of joking about living in Acts. I mean, Paul raised people from the dead. So Peter raised people from the dead. They touched people. Touching Paul's clothing, that was miraculous. Just all kinds of miraculous things happen. And that fits very well with these gifts that were given specifically for a purpose. Gifts of healing. And here's a couple. Peter healed in Acts 3, and then Paul did in Acts 20, being able to cure diseases and physical conditions. And then we have a whole bunch here. Affecting of miracles. And there, you know, there miracles were performed in Acts, you'll see there.
So, Roger,
go ahead.
Weren't those, all of those things for that time were because we didn't have this written word
exactly
to teach us about
right.
the Lord.
Right.
And so they had to have something to draw people's attention who had never, they were all pagan.
Right.
They didn't have anything, and they had all these idols who they claimed did miracles and they claimed did
right.
all the stuff. But they didn't have this.
Exactly.
And that's why I believe that we
sure.
have this now. We don't need those miracles.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, if you read some of these passages here, you'll see that as a result of these miracles, in fact, actually, let me see. Let's just turn to the Acts passage for a second. This is the one. There's one that says, and as a result of what happened, the people believed. I mean,
right.
they said
right.
it validated what was happening.
Right.
So Acts 13, 8-12. Let me just look here real quick. Yeah, now this is the one about this magician. Yeah, so starting verse on Paul, who was also known, I would say Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, fixed his gaze. I'm reading verse 9 of 13. Fixed his gaze upon him and said, "You are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all of righteousness. You will not, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time." And immediately a mist and a darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking those who would lead him by the hand. And the proconsul believed, right there. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had happened, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. So there's a result. It validated that Paul was who he said he was. And so that kind of shows up in a variety of these things. Prophecy. And a couple occurrences there. The correct evaluation of spirits. Various kinds of tongues, basically languages unknown to the speaker. And we see that in the early part of Acts. They say, well, how can these people, I'm hearing it in my own language. That's a beautiful passage. I'm hearing the gospel in my own language. But he's speaking Hebrew, but I'm hearing it in Greek, or I'm hearing it in whatever. So they heard it in their own language. And then interpretation of tongues. And that's another thing we're going to find out as we go down the road here. As the tongues are for the common good, someone needs to interpret it so that it can be for the common good. If a person just talks away in this unknown language, you can't understand him, you can't get any revelation that's of any value to you. Somebody has to there has to be an interpreter. And that's another area where, you know, today's certain body are very weak on. Nobody's interpreting. People are just...
Well, they have interpreters.
Well, they
yeah. So-called interpreters.
Right, I know. Okay, so that's a listing of the gifts, of those nine gifts. And the last verse, "But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So this is the word we saw earlier, energeo, to work in, to be active, operative, and his use of God, the Holy Spirit, same as we saw back in verse 6. And distributing, once again we see that the Holy Spirit is distributing the gifts, dividing into parts, and it's for all these the same, the one and same Spirit is dividing by his dividing energy, putting into operation, dividing to each one separately, even as he desires. So the Holy Spirit is providing each one according to God's will. As he desires. He's the one that's dividing up the variety of gifts. Okay, so we got through it. you could argue, you know, it could be a little smoother, but anyway. Well, I hope, you know, like I said, the takeaway is the marvelous working of God in the life of the believer. Go ahead, Randy.
Oh, there are some compelling revelation in other parts of 1 Corinthians on the idea of these things coming to a closure. But there's also a bunch more that we're coming into that is for the body still today that we have to look forward to study and take in and kind of look at our own lives and reflect on what's there.
Right. Right. Okay.
Stuff. So you were forced by the clock to move quickly, but there's a lot of good material
there. There is. And that's sort of the, we could have a whole class just on these gifts. And I think, going through all those verses, and I think that would be profitable. And but there's how do you divide it up? And so you make a choice, and hopefully the Lord guides us in doing that. Okay, let's close. We thank you, Father. We thank you so much for this day, Lord. We thank you for the blessings we have, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, how He is providing the gifts for the common good of the body. And we thank you that you choose those gifts, and you're the one that's energizing us, not ourselves, Lord. Help us to be mindful of that as we trust and walk by faith, trusting that you provide the ministry, the gift that is needed for each individual in our body. In Christ's name, amen.